Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and today we're going to talk about wealth and creativity, the way they relate to each other, how they're so profoundly interrelated. First, I would like to talk about the basic use of the human brain. This is really where wealth comes from. The imagineering capacity, the visioneering capacity of the brain is where it starts. So when I talk to individuals one-on-one, when I'm coaching them, or whether I'm working with groups, it doesn't matter. One of the things I like to start with is the two different uses of the brain. In other words, the choice we have fundamentally on how to use the brain, the mind, and the imagination. Now, this is a fundamental choice, a distinction between creating and reacting. When I coach people or work with groups where there are people in the groups who have questions, and these people are not really producing or creating the lives they want, they're not making the money they want, they're not having the life they want, they don't have the relationships they want, or whatever the lack or deficit is, whenever there's something missing, what I find is they're using their brain for reacting most of the day. So, for example, if I walk through an average day with them, there's very little creating throughout the day. It's reacting instead. So, reacting is using the lowest part of my brain. Reacting is using the lizard brain, or the very basic low reptilian part of the brain, the fight or flight part of the brain. And the person who uses their brain for reacting all day long lives a life of fear. And they wake up and they assess all the mild threats to their well-being, to their happiness, to their financial well-being. And then they proceed to worry and take action, but it's kind of evasive action. It's trying to run around repairing things. And this is using the brain for reacting. They wake up in the morning, they see what messages have come in, they see what emails they have received, they see what voicemails, they see what people want of them, and then they scurry around and try to make good on all of that. So it's a life outside in. It's a life based on looking outside, seeing what the threats are to my well-being, and then trying to run around and patch those up. That's a life of reacting. That doesn't have to be my life. Now just remember, when we were young, we used our brains for the way they were intended to be used, which was creating. Kids would wake up and run around and look for things to create. They'd create games, they'd make things, they'd do all kinds of fun stuff, because they were using their brains primarily as they were intended. Whole brain thinking. The right side of the brain and the left side of the brain being used together to create. As we got older, we began to perceive more and more threats. Threats to our self-esteem, threats to our potential for being embarrassed, all kinds of threats. So we created a kind of safe personality, and then we started reacting to things. And pretty soon the brain becomes like a habituated robot. It just reacts because it doesn't get practice creating. And then someone will take a seminar and they'll go away for 2 days and they'll use finger paints and they'll use music and they'll dance, and all of a sudden they feel completely liberated because they're creating. They're using the whole brain. They're tapping into that creativity that is their birthright, that really is using the best of them and all of them. Now, the most important thing about seeing the difference between reacting all day and creating throughout my day is that it's a choice of mine. And when I see it as a choice, I can start choosing to create. So, for example, let me use a very specific example that happens to people all day. I receive an email, and my email is troublesome. Somebody wants something too soon before I promised it, or somebody wants something too hard for me to put together for them. Something's going on where my reaction is one of a little bit of annoyance at best, sometimes anger, and I want to fire something back, like something that justifies my anger, something that puts them in their place, something that pushes the threat away. And what happens now is I end up living a very defensive day. And I'm defending against threats to my well-being throughout the day. And a family member calls complaining about another family member. And now I get upset because this is a threat to my happiness to have family members going through problems. And so my day becomes, after a while, a day of reacting to things and trying to get through my day instead of really creating. Now I can wait and every year take a seminar and go create during the seminar and feel great again and tap back into my most creative self, but then return to my life and react. So that happens to a lot of people. They go to really refreshing, wonderful things where they do yoga and mountain biking and all kinds of things, and then they come back to their daily lives and they don't know how to access the self that felt all that freedom and release and creativity on the weekend. But the real breakthrough for people occurs when they see the clear choice between creating and reacting. Now this is very much like a choice between using my left hand to bounce a ball with or my right hand. Let's say that I am right-handed, and because I'm right-handed, anytime you throw me a ball, a basketball, I bounce it with my right hand because that just feels normal. Pretty soon it becomes habituated, bouncing all my life with my right hand. So if you ask me, now I'd like you to bounce the ball and walk across the floor, bouncing it with your left hand. It feels a little awkward. And it's awkward because I haven't done much of it. But if every day I bounced the ball with my left hand and went across the floor and came back across the floor only using my left hand, after a while, maybe 1% one day, 2% the next, my left hand would be brought up to the level of my right hand so I could bounce with either hand. Now this occurs in basketball when people learn to do things that are at first uncomfortable and then feel perfectly natural. And a player who can bounce or dribble the ball with either hand is a much better player, much harder to guard than a person who just intuitively, naturally, habitually bounces it with his right hand or his one dominant arm. Now this is also true, this clear choice, when I walk out on the court, which hand am I going to bounce the ball with? If I would consciously bounce the ball with my left hand, then I would become a better player a little bit at a time, to the point where soon it just felt natural. I wouldn't have to consciously do it. The same is true with creating. If I get that email that upsets me, annoys me, if I would consciously ask myself, given that I got this email, what would I like to create? Would I like to create a better relationship with the person who sent it to me? Would I like to create a new agreement with the person who sent it to me? Would I like to create a sense of reassurance to the person who sent it to me? Would I like to create a meeting with the person who sent it to me so we could get things straightened out? These are all creative questions. And all of these questions call on my creative self, the right side of my brain, imagineering, visioneering, picturing, creating, designing. And that's a beautiful, wonderful feeling. It's also not easy for an adult to do because most grown-ups react all day. They live from threat awareness. And they scan the horizon like radar for threats, and then they deal with the threats. Mild threats, threats to my comfort, threats to my sense of well-being, but there are threats all out there, all day. And if I use my brain for reacting emotionally to those threats, then my day is diminished. And I wonder why I'm not moving forward. Why are some people succeeding and I'm not? Why are some people creating a really great life financially, spiritually, physically, and I'm not? Why is that? And the fundamental answer, what I've found over the years, working with individuals, coaching them from being stuck with no progress to a quantum leap financially or anywhere they want to succeed, it always begins here. What would you like to create? Are you willing to do this creating instead of reacting? And when they do that over and over and over, pretty soon it becomes natural for them. Something occurs in the external environment, and their first question is, given that this has occurred, what would I like to create? Now, in the past, they were just saying, whoa, how do I deal with this? Whoa, how do I deal with that? OMG, I don't know what to do about this. I'm really scared. Or OMG, I am ticked off. And that was their whole day. And then they would look at their life and say, nothing wonderful, no real progress, no breakthroughs. I don't know why I'm not lucky, or I wasn't born with the breakthrough gene. I don't know what it is. But really, this is it. It's the awareness that we can be creative with anything. We can neutralize any event and then create around it instead of being overwhelmed by it or made emotional by it. And it takes practice. It's not just the awareness. That's the first step. The next step is practice. Am I willing to bounce the ball with this hand that doesn't feel natural to bounce the ball with? That's the real question in life. One of the really rewarding experiences of my life thus far has been working with microchip technology. It's an amazing, enlightened, productive, worldwide company. And I've had the privilege of coaching people inside the company, training groups of people in the company, and getting to know them personally and professionally. Now, what's so enlightened about this company is the way they view systems. And systems is something that you and I can use to turn our lives of being stuck financially, spiritually, mentally, into breakthroughs, into wealth, into health, into vitality, energy, all the kinds of things we really want. If we would think in terms of systems, things would occur faster. This has been my experience. So let me tell you what I mean. Steve Sanghi is the president of this company, and he wrote a book called Driving Excellence. Now, if you like corporate cultures, if you enjoy reading about how they're formed, you'll want to get this book called Driving Excellence. If that doesn't have much of an interest to you, I'll tell you the greatest part of this book, for me, the part that's most useful, the part that I got the most out of. And the whole culture of systems that microchip technology uses. This is it, basically. Any result you're getting in your life has been produced by some system. And that system is perfect. It's not the wrong system. It's not a bad system. It's perfect. It's a perfect system for the result it's getting. So every system is perfect for the result it gets. So let's say my system is to just wake up and make whatever money I can make to pay my bills, to try to keep up. Now that's the system. It's a perfect system for the life I'm leading, for the result that that system gets. And maybe the result that system gets is me being anxious, me never really knowing if I can make all these payments ahead of time, or me living month to month, trying to pay the bills, trying to keep up. That's the result. And my system is perfect for that result. there's nothing wrong with me, there's nothing wrong with the system, there's nothing wrong. Now, the beauty of seeing it this way is that, number one, I can study the system. Let me look at this system that's getting this result. Let me see how it operates. It's perfect for this result. Number two, when I see it as a system, I can stop reacting. I can stop getting all emotional about it and trying to figure out what kind of character flaws I have or what's wrong with my personality or how I wasn't raised right to really be financially secure. All these things I can throw out. They're not relevant. What's relevant is, how does this system operate that gets me this result? How does this perfect system work? I want to look at it. Now, once I see it, I can ask myself, do I like the result? Is this the result I want? Because if the answer is no, I don't have to go to what's wrong with me. Do I need therapy? What's the matter with me? I can go to what system would I like to replace this system with? What system would be perfect for the result I want? And now I can go look for another system. I can read about other systems. I can have my coach tell me his system. I can go to many places and find a new system to use. And this new system will be perfect for the result it gets. On and on. So if I look at my physical fitness and my weight, I know I have a perfect system that results in this. Whatever system I have, it's perfect for this. Now, if I don't like this result, I want to audition, examine, talk to other systems. The beauty of working with systems is that it fires up the creative side of your brain. And it brings whole brain thinking into all situations, instead of all this negative emotional stuff. Most people I work with who aren't getting the life they want, they aren't getting the wealth they want, or the happiness they want, or anything they think they want. It's because they're stuck inside systems that are perfect for the result they're getting, but they don't want to look at it that way. What they would rather do, and this is just a habit for them, is to try to find out what's wrong with them. What can I feel ashamed of? What can I be guilty about? What patterns about me must I study to find out my character flaws? How has my personality become so screwed up? How can I label myself? What are all the negative things I can say about myself that I now believe are permanent and lead to me not having the life I want? Now, that's where most people go with their brains. Most people, I'm not just saying people who are messed up or people who are insane. I'm saying almost everybody I encounter wants to explain results they're getting that they don't like with personal defects and flaws and all kinds of personal problems that are permanent and part of their identity. And the problem with that is, there's no access to change if I believe this is all coming from me. In other words, if I'm seeing through my eyes, I can't see my eyes. So how can I examine what my eyes look like if I don't have a mirror? If I'm just standing out in the wilderness, I can't. And how can I examine how I'm operating if I believe that I'm operating because of permanent tendencies inside of me? I can't. What I'm trying to look at is what I'm looking through. And what I need to do right now, if I really want to break through and I really want to change in my life, is to walk outside of myself and see the result I'm not liking and see the system that produces it. And then choose a different system. So here's an exercise I gave a group of people the other day that was really successful for them, and they were amazed at how it worked. I asked them to choose the biggest problem in their business right now. the biggest problem they were working on, living through something that they had not solved yet, that they would go to bed at night thinking about. And then pair up with the person in the room, and that other person in the room is going to ask you, tell me what your problem is. And then you state the problem fully. And then the other person says, given that you have that problem, what would you like to create? Now, this is a strange question that people aren't used to hearing. Most people want their problems to go away, and they want to solve their problems, so they're always thinking down at the level of the problem. So they're walking around all day thinking, how do I make this problem go away? What can I do about this problem? But in this exercise I gave, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to rise up. I'm asking you to rise up and answer the question, given that you've got this problem, what would you like to create? Now, the beautiful thing about that question is that it pulls you out of your lizard brain, that trapped reptilian fight or flight, emotional, something wrong with life, this isn't the way it should be, reality is wrong right now, that kind of insane thinking, and it pulls you up to whole brain creative imagination. What would I like to create? Now, these people in the room that I gave the exercise to had tremendous breakthroughs, because what they were actually doing was looking at a situation now from a very neutral place. I've just described the problem to you. We're both analyzing it. And now I'm being asked to create a system that would make the problem irrelevant. So the system becomes the mothership, and the problem is beamed up into the mothership, assimilated, and the mothership flies away. Now, this is really how great positive changes occur when people do it. They just don't see it, and they don't see that they could be doing this all day long. Every system in your life is perfect for the result it creates. If you don't like the result you're getting, what's the system you would love to bring in to replace the old system with? Notice here that I'm not talking about people and personalities and what's wrong and who's doing it wrong and who's bad and who's not good at what they do and who's lazy. I'm not talking about that, because that's where most people go when things go wrong. That's where most people go when their financial situation isn't the way they want it to be. They look inside themselves. What's wrong with us? What are we not good at? And that's so weary-making. That's so depressing. So people bring on their own depression around money by not willing to be creative, by being unwilling to create systems. They instead try to make problems go away. And they try to identify the source of the problem inside various personalities who have let them down, who didn't keep their promise, who aren't good at something. And this is a terrible nightmare when it comes to money. It doesn't give you any access to your creativity. And when we see people really breaking through with money, people create Facebook, people create Apple, people create all kinds of wonderful things, it's because they're in their most creative self. They're designing, they're creating. But what we don't see is that these people aren't particular geniuses. You hear them interviewed and you start to think, well, this person's just like me. This person doesn't sound like a genius. And really what it is they spend more time designing new systems than other people do. That becomes their passion. So they spend their day in creativity, and we spend ours in reacting, emotional reaction throughout the whole day. And we can change this in a heartbeat. I had a client who had a school. And in his school, he taught people certain things. And every year, a certain amount of people signed up for his school. And the problem he had was that he was breaking even every year. He loved his school. He was very creative. He taught great things to the students in his school. But year after year, he simply broke even. He wasn't getting ahead. He didn't have a business savings account. There was no real financial progress being made. He had created the life he liked, a school that he really enjoyed teaching. So many people would say, what's wrong with that? Why can't he just scrape by? The problem was, he never really had peace of mind. He never felt that he was gathering abundance in and building a good nest egg and really doing what he wanted to do with his school. He felt like it was pretty much altruistic, a self-sacrifice, just breaking even to teach these people these things. And then after a while, he began to think, oh, well, that's what the great spiritual teachers do, I guess. They never really make money and get rich. They just sacrifice themselves so other people can receive this wonderful wisdom. And I said, nonsense. Let's get you to where you're actually putting money away, and your school is paying you a great deal of money, more than you would ever need, so you can put it away and give it away if you like, and do with it what you want, so you can have the life you want financially, instead of just this getting by, breaking even stuff. So he had a perfect system for breaking even, and I asked him, what would you like to create? What would you like to create that would have you be making X amount of money over and above what you're making now without really putting you out very much, without really taking a lot of your time? And so together we brainstormed and brainstormed, and together we created a new level of learning for his students, for his advanced students, that they would be paying a lot more for once they graduated from his school. But that would be a really powerful, intimate level of learning that would occur at his home. And he would bring them all in. And he wouldn't have to rent a hall. He wouldn't have to put money out. He would just take money in. And that became hugely successful for him. And he kept the regular school the way it was. And based on, given what's happening, what would you like to create? He created this new program, and all the money from that new program was over and above what he used to break even with. So he was able to give some of that away to causes he cared about. He was able to put some of that away in savings, retirement, and feel absolutely great about his life on Earth. All from one question. What would you like to create? So now ask yourself the same thing. Given the way your life is rolling along at present time, are you willing to see that there's nothing wrong with it? Are you willing to see that there's nothing wrong with you? You simply have systems in place. Given that life is occurring the way it is, what would you like to create? Stay with that question. If you have a coach, bring that question to your coach. Hey, coach, ask me this question. And then you and I are going to work on this until we design a system that produces the result I want.